serve in an effort to address...
Blog Talk Radio.
...travelers to hit the road early Thanksgiving morning. This, after the Auto Club predicted over 53 million Americans will be traveling for the holiday. Since most are traveling by vehicle, the agency says the worst traffic on the roads will be Wednesday afternoon and Sunday after 5 p.m. A man now faces charges following Monday's attack on a WWE star in New York City. Liz Warner has more.
NYPD reporting 24-year-old Elisa Spencer tackled wrestling superstar Seth Rollins during a broadcast at Barclays Center. Spencer apparently pounced on Rollins, who was leaving the stage in front of fans. Police were able to subdue and arrest Spencer, and he now faces multiple charges, which includes disruption of a live sporting event.
At least 45 people are dead after a bus caught fire in Bulgaria earlier today. A Eurocom TV reporter says investigations are now underway into what might have caused the disaster.
The 45 people are being burned alive. What is more terrible is that out of these 45 people, there are 12 children.
It happened on a highway in western Bulgaria, 28 miles west of the capital, Sofia. 7 people who jumped from the burning bus were taken to a hospital in Sofia. Most of the victims were tourists from North Macedonia. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I am one of thousands of women with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC,
which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body.
I am living in the moment and taking Ibrance, calprocyclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablet with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy.
Be in your moment. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell count that may lead to serious infection. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see showers on and off throughout the day today, tapering off by this afternoon and evening. High temperatures around 48, 49 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to a crisp 38, 39. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, turning to a slight chance of rain by Wednesday afternoon. High temperatures around 48. Wednesday night, clouds and rain will hang around. Lows down to about 43. For the Thanksgiving Day holiday, clouds and rain expected. Highs around 50.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150KKNW.com. That's 1150KKNW.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McSilly and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, and the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
Welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. We're going to have a fun time for everybody. Today, I have got a great guest for all of you. Here's what we're going to do. Like, even if it's, like, scary for you to think about this, we're the year ahead, 2022. My very special guest, Susan Miller, joining me here today. Let me just see if I can hold this up, Jacob. Let me just see if I can do it. Ta-da! Yes. And I'm excited about 2022, and I'm going to hear from Susan in a minute because I don't have the knowledge that she has. For those of you that know her, this is going to be redundant. For those of you that are meeting her, internationally known author, entrepreneur, publisher, pioneer of the Internet, you know, she and I have that in common. I used to like that title. Now I'm just starting to think that makes me feel a little old, but it's okay. Oh. She is the founder of Astrology Zone, astrologyzone.com. Okay, now this came out, so this is a cool thing. I love this. I love that it came out in December. Came out in December of 1995. And I think it came out in December 15th. I'm not exactly sure. I
14th.
Just 14th, under the sign of Sagittarius, as my birthday is the 11th. So I'm really excited to talk to her about that.
Oh, wow.
I know. But here we are with the calendar. It is the coolest thing. And we're going to take a deeper dive with her today. We're going to talk about what the words are that come out. Why is it so many people are loving what she's doing? For example, social media, Twitter, like hundreds of thousands of people. What is it we all are longing to know? But the world of predictions, it's the world of intuition, it's the world of the journey that we follow. And you're going to hear about her journey first out of the gate, power of following our path means, and what we can get ready for in 2022. Hey, Susan, it's great to have you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. I'm thrilled. You have such a great show.
Thank you. I'm, like, so excited to talk to you. And every year we do shows that talk about this. You were my first pick. I said to Linda, we got to get her first. We just got to start the conversation now. And Linda's like, usually you do this around your birthday. I said, no, it's 2022 is a big year. We feel it as a network. We have so many things we're doing. And we came up with a theme, and I'll tell you about that later. But I want to know about you because I have been, people in my friend's family feel like we worry when you walk in the room and your eyes are like all big, like when I don't have my glasses on, and you walk in and you say, I have got a great idea. So we all hold our breath for a minute about that. But I want to ask because intuition, energy, insight, things that come to us. For you in your life to be Susan Miller, the most amazing Susan Miller, what did you have to overcome? How did you get the insight to become who you are today?
I thought I'd start out with an easy question.
Well, first of all, I want to put out there that astrology is based on math, and I'm looking at mathematical cycles all day long.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's as if the planets were little people. Actually, I talk to them. It's crazy in my head. And it's like a cocktail party. Eight people are at a cocktail party plus the sun and moon. She loves to be with her partner, the sun, the gracious moon, who's giving this cocktail party. And you might see three people talking. You might see two people arguing. You might see two people kissing, like Venus and Mars. And I have to, I have to listen to the conversations and see which ones will affect the different 12 signs, because not all those conversations are going to affect everyone, and not equally either, because it depends on the mathematical degree. So, you know, it's so funny, Dr. Pat, I never wanted the world to know I knew astrology. Yeah. That was supposed to be a secret. I was born with a terrible birth defect. Doctors didn't know what it was. They accused me of making it up, finding a way to stay home from school. And that was a double whammy because I was in excruciating pain when I would have an attack. It was always in my left leg.
Wow.
But I couldn't move an inch of the bed when I'd get an attack. I couldn't move at all. And a mother knows a child usually gets up and gets her dolls or her crayons or something. I couldn't move. I couldn't eat with my family, nothing. And I usually would get an attack on Christmas or the Easter Bunny or my birthday. It seemed to coincide with me being excited and happy. I was bleeding internally. They finally went in. And when they went in, they couldn't get out. I was in the hospital 11 months. And then I had to go to physical therapy for 2.5 years because they had a tourniquet me so tightly to save the leg and save my life that I had a, it was paralyzed from the knee down. I had a dropped foot. You know, they put a fork on you. Do you feel this? No. Can you wiggle your toes? No. He said, well, you're 14 years old. We'll be able to get that back. But first we have to work on your circulatory system. Scar wouldn't heal. They took a lot out. I had to have skin grafts. I mean, it was just endless.
Yeah.
But when I got home, I begged my mother, who was a real scholar in astrology, teach me. And she said, no. I said, no, you know astrology. Why wouldn't you teach me? She said, you're going to start reading for your friends after a year. You're going to think you know what you're doing, and you won't know what you're doing, and this is not a parlor game. This is serious stuff. And if you don't study 12 years, you won't be any good.
Wow.
So I would need you to pledge 12 years, and you're only 14. You don't even know what 12 years is. And I said, well, little mom, she was tiny. We live in a two-story walk-up, you know, three stories altogether, but, you know, we were on the second floor. I had braces, a big metal brace on my leg up to my hip. I had crutches. I said, I'm not exactly going to sneak out of the house, and where would I go? I don't have any friends. I'm not in high school. This happened when I was in sophomore, and it went all the way through senior year, although the school did let me graduate with the other kids, but I didn't know them. But I did go through the ceremony, and then I went on to New York University and graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Business, and actually most likely to succeed in marketing. I don't know where that came from. They didn't warn me ahead of time that they were going to give me this, you know, so it was at the ceremony of graduation. But I found my fierce determination, as most people would. When you go through anything, you find your strength. You don't really have a choice.
No.
You have to keep going. I remember saying to my mother, who was such an inspiration to me, always cheerful, always positive. I said, Mama, I'm in the middle of the water in a terrible storm on a raft with high waves. It's dark. And I don't know which way is land. She says, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
You're going to find land. I'm going to help you. Don't worry about that.
Mm.
You're going to get there. And then she would say, you're going to have pretty dresses. and so many new shoes. You won't know which ones to wear today, and you'll be able to travel for the first time, because I could never go to camp or do things that other kids did, because I didn't know when an attack was coming, and I'd have to go right to bed with a pillow under my knee. And she's always so happy. And what I'm trying to do in Astrology Zone is be just like my mother, to encourage other people. And, you know, she always said that when there's something bad in the chart, there's always something good. And you have to locate that and wedge the door open so that, you know, that is your path out.
Yeah.
Look for good. And I just loved her so much. I don't have her anymore. She died in 2012. But I love her. And my father, too. He was good to me. I mean, both. And I have a sister, but she wasn't born with this crazy birth defect. What I have is so rare that there's only one book written on it. My veins would turn to tissue paper and vanish.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I mean, first of all, you and I were shaped by our moms. Mine was both my birth mom and my stepmom. My birth mom taught me how to have an open heart. My stepmom taught me the power of optimism. So just like you just described, she was like, you know what, girls, y'all, you can be able to do whatever you want in life. And she would say this. And she fought for me. As my family, you know, families used to decide what the kids do. And so, like, my two stepsisters, they were going to go off to what was then known as, like, the secretary school. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Back
in those
days,
people hear that and they don't understand. That was assumed.
Right. And she fought for me. I remember this like it was yesterday. Like, all the relatives were at the table, like, mostly my Italian relatives. And then my stepmom.
Oh, I'm Italian, too. I'm Italian. Yeah.
And they were deciding. And my mom overheard them, and she walked in. She said no. She was, like, 30 years younger than my dad, beautiful blonde woman. She walked in with her red lipstick and her nails, and she said, no, Patricia is not going to do that. She's going to go to school for music. She's the first viola in an orchestra. She is not going to do that. She's going to go to Christopher Columbus High School. Don't even talk about her. And she took her a cigarette and her nails and walked out of the room. But I love you sharing that story. Here's why. She would say, girls, what don't kill you, going to make you stronger. Look at me. And yet here we are, you and I, you're a pioneer. Astrology Zone is like amazing, always has been.
Thank you.
And, you know, here we are. I never thought in a million years that here I'd be 18 years with the Dr. Pat Show going on, you know, our 13-year anniversary with Transformation Network and Transformation Talk Radio. This was never anywhere. Like, I'm homeless at 17, right? I'm arrested at 19. I didn't do. I mean, there's no way you can piece this together unless you understand my astrology pathway.
And being unjustly accused is the worst thing. Whether it's an illness or a legal thing that somebody thinks you did, it's always on my mind, too. I love court dramas. I love to watch them on television and in the movies. And I'm so happy that they have such a thing as the Innocence Project.
Oh, my God.
Changing things. It's changing everything.
And, you know, it's a crossroads. You have faced crossroads in your life, right? I mean, clearly you have decisions. And I want to talk about that. But because the same thing, I was faced at a very young age. I'm 19. And I had to decide whether this court-appointed whatever dude is telling me to say. And the minute I got up in front of the judge, people say it's my, like, sign. I don't know. But I got there, and I just said, no, I'm going to tell him the truth. I got the jacket with me. I'm going to tell him that how this happened. There's no way in my lifetime, I come from a family that has police. There was no way I would grab a policeman's gun. And so here we are.
Are you saying that? Oh, my God.
It actually happened. What happened was, it's a long story. I'm going to make it really short because I want people to hear from you. And by the way, while we're talking, we're taking live call-ins for this show.
Oh.
You want to know what's in your astrology zone today? 1-800-930-2819. You want to know what we are going to get on in 2022? Because our theme is 2022, it's all about you. Back in the day, right, I had this suede, you know, like they you used to wear with the long, what do you call those, fringes?
Fringe.
Fringe.
Oh, it's back in style now.
It is. I'll tell you what, I had to get rid of this jacket because of this, but I wish I would have kept it. But it was really quite innocent. I got pulled over. I had a car, had a peace sign on it. You get pulled over. Cop goes, and of course, I pretty much lived in my car. I was eating out of the back. I had, yeah, I'm typical. I'm 19. All the bags. And he starts going through the car, literally objective. Everything back then objective. So I grabbed his arm. And as I grabbed his arm, my big fringe caught his gun.
Oh, my gosh.
I can laugh about it now.
That shows the domino effect.
I can't have a hot flash. But it grabbed, it somehow caught on his gun or his belt. I don't even know. And as he pushed me away, the gun was coming with me. And that was, I tell you, somebody's looking out for me. Now, it's got to be in my chart somewhere.
Well, they say the truth will let you...
I can't.
And Sagittarius is so ethical about that. They'll even say the truth even if it's not in their interest. You know, Mayor Koch was a Sag, and he was in New York City, and he would say the most outrageous things that were always true, and they weren't always in his favor. But he just couldn't hold it in. You know, he said, "This is the truth." You know. Well, I loved him for that. He was very popular.
He was very popular. I was in New York with him. I'm from New York. And so we always have a very interesting sort of, you know, political governors in New York, right? But here's what I love about what you're doing. People are so hungry, Susan. Let's talk to this for a minute if we could. You know, first of all, congratulations on not giving up on this dream.
No, it's going to be 26 years on the net next month, December 14th.
December 14th.
Which I found out by accident one night when I was watching the History Channel. I couldn't sleep, so I'm, you know. And I said, tonight we're going to do Nostradamus, whose birthday was December 14th. And I'm like, whoa.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that.
No, you're born close enough. You know,
I'm the 11th. And what's interesting is I've had to learn about this because so many people have said to me, yeah, we know that's your birthday, but there's something else got to be in your chart. There's got to be something else. There's got to be something else. And I started to explore it. Now, I will tell you, I am not an expert. I don't claim to be. I want to call you, and I want to say, I need your help right now. I need you to take me through what next year will really be like, and I'm hoping you will work with me on this because I haven't done it yet. But it's interesting. I remember...
What is your rising?
Yes.
What's your rising sign?
Taurus. I got my moon and a bunch of planets in Capricorn. So it's like all in this quadrant over here, right? All over there is, during the break, I'll have to tell you about. But all there's a lot
no,
of
I
stuff
can
over
visualize
here.
It.
Oh, can
I
you?
Can.
Okay, I'm not doing a very good job. I apologize if I'm in.
No, you have
world of astrology.
I love you. I'm so sorry about this call.
Well, let me do this. Let's go to a quick break, Danny. Let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive deeper. But I got to tell everybody, this is a live call-in show. 1-800-930-2819. We'll let you know what you're going to need to do that. And when we come back, this is, like, so cool. Just the art itself. Right? Linda's like, did you get Susan's calendar? I said, yes.
We're working on 23 right now.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
They take a long time because inside it's all your best days.
Oh, my God. It's
user days.
I want to talk about this. But Linda says, so I must be like a trickster, too. Because Linda says, did you get two of them? I said, no. I said,
I will send you another one.
No, wait. This is like a joke. It's just a joke. I said, no, Shoni sent it to me. Linda said, no. She didn't send one for me? I said, just kidding. I was going to surprise you. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the pioneers of pioneers. What is going on in your chart? What would you like to know about? And is this a time where there are people in our lives that are literally fading away because they need to? Can you embrace the positive aspects of what Susan said? For every downturn, there's an upturn. You know, like my mama used to say, for every setback, girl, there's a setup. And a good one. Stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the most amazing, amazing. Hello, we'll be right back. Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune in to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com. Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. This happens. The poet Marie Stephan is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Maine, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ornedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOrnedo.com.
Everybody, welcome back. We're taking your calls, but we're gonna take a little journey for a moment with Susan. But before we do, Susan, I know the best place to go is to your website, right? Let's make sure people know, one, how to find out about you, everything you're up to, and I cannot thank you enough for staying the course, for really bringing this out.
No, I give a lot on my website for free. I write it. I also have a free app, and it's a daily horoscope, but it also includes my monthly. And my monthly horoscope is what put me on the map, because there I have room to explain where you're coming from, where you are now, and what's the possibilities of which way you could go you know, in this month and the coming months. I try to put it in context. And when I write about you or any sign, I try to become you. Not only walk in your shoes, but look at the world through your eyes and experience what you've just come through and where you're going next, and to give you some ideas. Because the thing I love about astrology is that you get to pick what your direction is going to be and what you want to achieve. You know, every year we trade a year of our lives for our experiences, so we want those experiences to be really rich and rewarding and wonderful, you know. And so, it's, you know, I used to sew a lot when I had the time. I loved to go to a fabric store and get beautiful fabric. And a new year is like that. You're picking out a beautiful fabric. What will you do with it? What, how will you drape it? How will you cut it? What will you make from it? And it should be essentially you, not what someone else thinks you should make of it. And, you know, I think people work very hard. You know, I'm really noticing how hard people are working. You know, when the phone rings and it's someone from a department store saying, we're having our makeup artist come this week, she's probably had to call 200 people before.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I'm always polite, and I'm, well, maybe I could come by. I have to see my schedule. And, you know, I see it all around me, the people in the grocery store, the people at FedEx, the people in the post office, you know, wherever I go, you know, people are working hard, and I love that. There's a nobility in giving everything you have to your job and being the best you could be. I guess growing up in New York, you know, there are 9 million people here, and everyone wants your job.
Oh, my God.
So you have to be sure that you've picked a profession where you can use your talent the best possible way, or else you should segue into another profession if you feel you're not fulfilled, not using, and not growing. You have to keep growing, right? Don't you think, Dr. Pat?
I have to tell you. I have to tell you, and we have callers waiting to speak with you. I want to make sure they get in here. We have Spencer. We'll get right to you, and Charlene. What do you want Benny to collect from them? Birthday, times?
I want their first name, like Jane or whatever. And then because we can't do charts and we have to go quickly, I just want the month and day. And a concise question, not what's coming up for me.
No, good.
Something Spencer. Specific that's on your mind.
All right, Spencer, Charlene, get ready. We'll get right to you in a minute. And Benny, we're going to skip the next break. We're going to get rolling here. I love how available you've made this. Now, let me just talk about what I mean. I want to talk about what I mean. So let me just hold this up. I want to go through this today, and especially with the people calling in. Why not? I always love everything you do, but when I open this up, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love the art. And is that a leopard skirt?
He's my favorite artist. It's Isaac. And all your listeners can go over to Instagram. His last name is Zenou, Z-E-N-O-U. But if you just put in I-Z-A-K, Isaac, he's French, of course. I love working with him. I'll say, oh, I have an idea, Isaac. And he's, of course you can. You must tell me. You know, he's just a joy. He lived in New York all these years. He's just moved to the border of Connecticut and Massachusetts in this beautiful, scenic place because he's very inspired by it. So very soon I'll get pen and ink from him. And, you know, we're being very inclusive. We have white girls, black girls. You know, all nationalities, Latina and, you know, Asian, you know, because beauty comes in every form, you know, so.
I love you, Susan. I love you. I want to go. We're going to talk about the calendar, but I want to go to the phones. And
yes, let's go to the phones.
Let's get some folks going on here. We could always talk about my chart on a personal call.
We'll have lunch or something. I go to LA.
I have no lunches with people. But I've actually had Zoom lunches now. I mean, it's the greatest thing to do. I'll talk to you about
it. I had a Zoom dinner, so yeah, we could do that.
I might be doing a Zoom Thanksgiving dinner. I might do that. Let's go to the phones, Mr. Benny. We got Spencer.
Okay, Spencer.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Spencer. What's your birthday? We need the month and the day.
Question is about meeting a significant other.
Oh.
I was concerned,
look at
right?
I'm like, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, I just got like an oh about that. Okay, I'm going to turn you over to Susan Spencer.
Spencer, did you meet someone last year who was kind of interesting? You were in this year. You've had Jupiter in your sign, which is considered very magnetic and very, that's sort of charismatic. Did you meet someone who intrigued you, but you're still not sure, you haven't gone out enough? Is there anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I didn't meet anyone.
Are you in the computer business or high tech?
I am not.
You're not. What do you do?
I'm a counselor type.
Oh, you're doing humanitarian work then. Yeah. With Aquarius, it's either high tech or humanitarian.
Right.
Well, then I think you should do some volunteer work for a cause that really is close to your heart. Because you'll be working side by side, you know, on a weekend, or maybe it's just a run to the cure or something like that. On any scale that you can, that's where you're going to meet like-minded people. And, you know, if you find a partner who's as enthusiastic about helping that charity as you are, or doing something for the environment or something, within every Aquarian, there is the need to make the world a better place. And I love that about them. I love it. And you have so much to give. But Aquarians tend to be quiet.
Yeah.
That's the artwork.
I think we should read him like the day before his birthday from the calendar, too. But they tend to be quiet.
They tend to be a little mysterious, you know.
Yeah.
They have a lot of friends, but very few get into the inner circle. Mm.
Is that you, Spencer?
I think I show up as rather loud, but I'm really very quiet inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're like me. I am, like, so high on the introvert scale, like in the Myers-Briggs, and yet, like, every day I come out here and do this. But to be honest with you, when I'm done with this, you have to really find me. You have to find where
I am. Well, you know, Spencer, February is going to be one of the best months of the year, February and March.
Yes, looking at it.
I love both months. Mm. So you have to push yourself out the door, push away from the computer, push away from all the phone calls that comes in and the emails particularly, and get out there because February is magic for you. Yes. And it already starts at the end of January when Mars goes into Aquarius. You're going to, well, actually, that happens in March, I think, March 6th. The whole spring is just glorious for Aquarius. So I want you to take advantage.
Yeah, I was looking at some of that on your calendar, Susan. And for those of you out there, how do people get the calendar? Can we tell people how they do that?
They just click on it on my homepage and it brings you to the cart. And, I did something else this year, though.
What you did?
In Style magazine asked me to write the year ahead and then put it in their beauty box. They have all these new products that are just coming on the market now, and they're divided by fire, air, earth, and water. So you pick which element you are. But the book that I wrote, 58 pages, 7 inches by 7 inches, a tiny type, lots of information. That's for all 12 signs.
That's beautiful.
So people are really enjoying the bonus, the beauty box of my year ahead manuscript. And I just started shipping, and it's $35. And they make a really nice present. I bought one for each of my children, and then I bought some for my friends and my assistant. And I thought, there's somebody else I should send it to, and then I go back online.
Well, now you know what to do with this. But, you know, Spencer, let me say this. I know you got to pop off here in a second. When you came on and you asked that question, I will give you what my intuitive hit is. As well.
Oh.
I just went, oh, like that's a, oh, yeah. And if I were to give you a little bit of tidbits, so one of the things that Susan is saying is really cool about this, and if you look at the calendar, you're going to see things like, I was just looking at this, and let me just read this, a wonderful day, the 8th, a wonderful day when your intuition and spirit of practicality will blend as one. Energy is high, and incoming news could bring an exciting, unexpected breakthrough. So, I mean,
and that's right close enough to his birthday where the energy is building.
Right. So here's my suggestion to you, Spencer. As you move towards this birthday, and I don't mean like the week before. I mean like now, like start now, because we're going to talk about the energy now. We're going to talk about that Jupiter. But as you're moving day to day, open up your heart of expectancy. Okay, Spencer? Got it? I love that. Benny,
you know, sometimes we unwittingly push people away.
Oh, I'll
give you a tiny example.
Okay.
I belong to the three major astrological clubs. But because I learned astrology through my mother, the other people didn't want to become friends with me. So I would, you know, they were all in class together, and I'm this outsider that learned from her mother who actually studied with the Rosicrucians, so, which is a level beyond, you know. And I felt bad that I was this little black sheep that nobody wanted to have lunch with at these conventions. And then I thought, wait a minute, maybe it's my fault. Maybe they're assuming I don't want to have lunch with them. So I brought 12 calendars, 12 envelopes. I gave the concierge a tip, and I said, could you deliver these to these people in these rooms? Because we're all staying in the same hotel. It changed everything.
Wow.
So sometimes you have to make the first step. And I know your female listeners are saying, oh, it's so hard. But even my sister, she went to a party. It was in a restaurant, and everybody was so young. These days we call them millennials. So she goes to the bar and sits down, and there's this attractive man sitting there having a drink. And she said, you have to talk to me. He said, why do I have to talk to you? She said, look, all those girls are too young for you. I, on the other hand, am not too young for you, and I can have an intelligent conversation with you. He said, oh, okay, would you like a drink? And they're married like 27 years, you know. So sometimes you have to make the first step.
I love that.
And, you know, it's a little hard. You can have a little humor with it, you know. But it's okay.
I love it, and I love having humor with things because,
yes,
you know, that's what I get from here in a lot of ways. Let's go hit the phones again. Benny, who's up next?
Charlene from Canada.
Charlene, come on down.
Hello.
Hey, what's your birth month and day? And what is your very specific question, if you have one?
Okay. My month is the 4th month and the 15th day.
April.
And my specific question is, what will 2022 bring for family?
Mm-hmm. And what's the exact day of your birthday, sweetie pie?
April 15th, 1961.
Say the
day again. 18th,
1961. 15th. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
My daughter's born April 19th.
Oh.
And she's pregnant. So for her family, it's like glowing. You know, you've had some very good career years. Would you agree, Charlene? The boss loves you. You're moving along nicely. You feel secure in your job. Is that true?
That is true.
And now it's time, you're thinking, to spend more time on your home, your family, your relationships, because you haven't had as much time for family. Hmm. The career has kind of you know, kind of just vacuum cleaned you into the office, and you were, there was so much work to do, and you were doing so well that you didn't have time for other people in your life. This year is a time to make friends, new friends, and also to be with the people we love and to show them how much we love them. You, are you thinking of a move, or you don't want to move?
I actually have custody of one of my grandchildren right now, and I'm thinking about, I'm pulling away from work and devoting myself to my family.
Yeah, this is perfect timing for it. August would be a great time, end of July, August, to take a vacation with your little grandchild, you know, and maybe mother or other people. I love family vacations. I remember once we took my mother to Disney World, and we had so much fun. And we took my children, too. But, you know, to include the whole family is so nice, maybe to go to a resort or a beach or the mountains, a beautiful cabin by a lake, you know.
Wow.
That sounds nice.
But, no, you will be centered much more so on home and family in coming months. But there are new friends, too, and new interests coming into your life. So your life is becoming rounder, much more balanced.
Beautiful.
You're going to like it, my Aries friend. I love Aries. They have such funk.
Yeah. And you said
beautiful.
The 15th, April 15th, right, Germany?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to read from the beautiful. Okay, like I've got to hold this. I got to hold my leopard chick up right there. See that skirt? Okay, so here, let me just read this, if you don't mind, about Saturday. I'm going to do the 16th. Okie doke. It says, Venus in charge here. It is friendly contact with Mercury and Uranus. Good news likely to surface suddenly. Pluto in tight square to Sun and full moon indicating pressure on you to conform. Mars and Saturn supportive of Sun and full moon. So you can resist. Pluto, good vibes.
Don't let anybody tell you what to do.
That's bottom line with this. Pluto sends good vibes to Jupiter, stimulating business. Thank you, Pluto. Please get along with Jupiter. All right, Charlene, you're good to go.
Charlene, you have a really nice outlook. I just have one question. How old is your grandchild?
He's 15.
Okay. A teenager. You can have interesting conversations
very close
and a real effect on him.
Yes, for sure.
He's very close to me. I've had a very positive effect on him, and I want only the best for him.
Oh, well, we could tell. Yes. Yes, for sure.
Wow. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much.
It's a nice role for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Get the calendar because you could do it yourself. But also, if you go to astrologyzone.com, you can also, everybody, this is what I do. You can download the app, and you'll be plugged into
everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the app is free. There's no reason.
No.
I do have a premium version of the app, which is $4.99 a month. But at least get the free one.
Yeah.
You know,
and the calendar is a great gift. Because I was thinking, what the heck am I going to get people? And I was just listening to you, and I'm like, oh, this is it. These are things that people don't always think to get to themselves. Now, look, I want to hop over to Leslie, Benny. Let's see if we get Leslie in the short time we have left with the most amazing Susan Miller, okay?
Hi, Leslie. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how can we help you? What is, like, the month and the day?
Your birth. July 22nd.
Time.
July 22nd.
Okay, 7:22.
Oh. My best friend.
My
friend.
Question is,
now, what's your question?
It's cancer.
I'm at a crossroads in my life, and I want to know which way I should go.
Crossroads having to do with a personal relationship, or with your career, or with where you live.
All of the above.
Wow, that's like the trifecta of questions then.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Leslie, you're about to get enormous reward for your work. I wouldn't particularly want you to change fields. Are you just looking to get a new job, a better more responsibility and get paid more? Is that what you're thinking?
No.
No. You want to change your career?
No, I think I want to, I guess, enhance it more. Like, I don't think where I am now is where I'm meant to be. I think I need to move to grow, I guess.
Yeah, get repotted, so to speak. And do you want to move your house to a different location to get more job opportunities? Where are you living now? Where are you?
Alberta, Canada.
Oh, nice.
Wow,
would you come to the United States or would you stay in Canada, like go to Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver?
Yes.
Which are you thinking?
Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver. I love Vancouver. It's one of my favorite spots on Earth.
Yeah.
It's so gorgeous, and Dr. Pat, you're really close to Vancouver.
Yeah, it is beautiful. You know, Lively, what I'm hearing you say, too, is you're ready for expansion. And what I'm hearing you saying is expansion, personal growth, more creativity to be challenged a bit more. I noticed you said July 2nd.
Bored. He knows every crack in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's time to get something more challenging.
Yeah, so you're really looking to make that decision. And so I love what Susan's saying. It sounds like, here's what I know when you call into a show. I usually know that there are like 10,000 people listening that feel the same way. But you want to set a very specific intention to make that happen, right? This is not just like a pie in the sky thing. You're like feeling it, right, Leslie, or no?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
He's aching to do it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The reason I asked if you were coming to the United States, you're going to have Jupiter in the house of foreign people, foreign places. Now, Americans never think of our Canadian friends as foreigners. We think of them as our friends, you know? I even went to Canada once without my passport. That was a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
But they let me in because my book had my picture on the cover. This is crazy. And I insisted the customs person take the book. But you have luck with import, export, people in countries, nations other than your own.
Wow.
Any country that requires a passport for entry is so lucky for you. The luckiest in 12 years. Now, once I was working for Elle magazine, and I had something similar to you. And I said, I'm not working with any foreign magazine until I realized at the time Elle was owned by Hachette in Paris, and their headquarters was in Paris. So you can stay in Canada, but a foreign company, a company that has their headquarters somewhere else, lucky for you.
Yeah. Wow.
Also, the college market is, too. Wow. I don't know a lot about your work, but this is what's showing up. 9 past activities from January until mid-May, and then again November and December of 2022. And by the way, 2022 is so much different than 2020 and 21. 21 was really its twin of 2020. I didn't even write about it last year. I didn't even go on interviews. I knew that we were going to go through 2 years of a tunnel, you know. But this is a different year, one of joy and celebration and an outpouring of the arts when Jupiter meets with Neptune on April 12th.
Wow.
Oh, right near Charlene's birthday.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Leslie, thank you so very much. Right?
And please keep us
informed on like which direction you go or even what shows up. Just my suggestion for you, eyes wide open, almost like you're an eagle scanning, right? You're scanning. Oh, that excites me. Oh, that excites me. And try not to get into, oh, that excites me, but I'll never get it. Try not to do that, okay, Leslie? Love it.
Yeah, no, you're lucky this year, and you haven't had cosmic help like I'm seeing now.
Wow.
Jupiter in Pisces is powerful for Cancer.
Wow.
And you're going to feel it right away at the end of December, beginning of January.
Wow.
You're going to feel it instantly because you're an early Cancer born on the 22nd.
I love it. Look, see, I can't believe the hour's over almost.
Oh, no.
All right, look, I hope you'll come back because I do want to talk about what you said because a lot of people are feeling 2022 is really different. I know I'm feeling it. Our network's feeling it.
It's better. You remember when the Spanish flu was over? We had the flapper era.
Yeah,
clothes changed. Women didn't wear those short dresses of the flapper era before that. Think of 1908, 1910. I mean, they were still kind of dowdy. And then the flapper era came and the music, the jazz, and the literature of Scott Fitzgerald and his contemporaries and the art and the, even the food changed.
Art Deco
and architecture. We are going into an explosion of art, and it will give a template to the time we're in. We don't have one yet. I know wearing sneakers and long dresses isn't quite, it's not. It's going to change, and it's going to be exciting and poetic because Jupiter and Neptune are in Pisces. That's a poetic visual, beautiful influence. We're going to have fun, too. We're going to be together, and we're going to be joyous. And we still have to be careful. I think we got another year of this nutty virus. But we have to get our vaccinations. I've had my booster. I can't be sick. I have to stay well.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm feeling the same way. I'm really feeling like... So let me just say it this way, and maybe this is not true for everybody, but it's almost as if all the things we've been doing in line with our purpose, our passion, and ultimately where we want to be, it's almost as if this is the year. I mean, even so much for us that we thought we were going to launch something in 2021, and the universe said, you're not. And in a good way, not in a bad way, but it said, you know what? You need to do some more testing. It's going to be 2022. And when you hear that news initially, right, what did you say when we started, Susan? When you hear that news, you go, oh, no. But it's not really a no-no. It's the setback getting you ready for the setup.
Right? It gives you more time to think it through.
No kidding. And believe me, we have used every second of it for additional testing, especially when you deal with technology and you're us. I hope you'll come back.
The minute you ask me, I'm going to be thrilled to come back.
I'm going to get you coming. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get you coming around my birthday. I always love to talk astrology.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have taken courses, and I have to admit, I know even an inkling of what you know.
You know
what I
mean?
I love learning.
It takes a long time because the synapse in your brain have to simulate a lot of juggling balls at once. And you can't just look at one aspect. You have to look at all of them. Sometimes one aspect, like if you have Jupiter conjunct Mercury, that's fabulous for signing contracts. But if you have Neptune in opposition to the Sun or opposition Mercury or conjunct Mercury, that's awful for signing contracts. So I can't recommend it for that day. I have to look at the whole picture.
Beautiful.
And that takes time to learn.
I love it. Susan, thank you so much. Again, how do we get the calendar? Tell us how to subscribe. And then, what do you want to leave us with?
Wow. First of all, everyone should be happy. Look, we've put in the time, 2 years of spade work. And a lot of good things came out of that. I became a serious home cook during that time. A lot of people found passionate about old movies, whatever. We had time to think, but now we're going to start emerging out in society again. And maybe we'll have some new friends, and like you said, some friends may drop away because they don't have our interest anymore, but that's natural. It's a natural part of the attrition of life, where life is always renewing itself. And you go to my website, click on the calendar, or click on the AZ for your free app.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good, well, it's Tuesday. Tuesday to you, Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. I-5 southbound is still slow around the 516. A recent collision earlier that is blocking the two right lanes, still blocking those lanes. But good thing no medical aid fire assistance is responding tow. And State Patrol have all arrived on the scene. We are taking care of those motorists. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's Forging Alive with Coach Christine Clark. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm will join the White House briefing today to talk about rising gas prices. The announcement follows news that President Biden is tapping into the nation's strategic petroleum reserve as a way to combat surging gas prices across the U.S. Energy industry economists caution the release will take some time to be felt, so don't expect lower prices at the pump for the holidays. We will get justice for Ahmaud. That's what Ahmaud Arbery's mother told reporters as the jury in the trial began deliberations. Three white men are accused of shooting the 25-year-old Arbery while he was out for a jog last year in Georgia. More kids are getting sick with COVID-19. Sarah Lee Kessler has more.
The American Academy of Pediatrics are reporting that cases in children are up 32% from 2 weeks ago. Cases among children have been above 100,000 for 15 weeks in a row. COVID vaccine mandates are prompting a discussion about natural immunity. Baylor infectious disease expert Dr. Peter Hotez says catching coronavirus and then recovering is far from a one-size-fits-all scenario.
The Justice Department is asking a federal appeals court to lift the pause on the government's vaccine requirement for large businesses. A brief filed with the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals says the threat to workers in the COVID pandemic is ongoing and overwhelming. The brief argues delaying the vaccination requirement will likely cost many lives per day. A number of Republican-led states are suing to stop the mandate for businesses with 100 or more workers. Brian Laundry died by suicide. The family's attorney confirmed he passed away due to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was the only person of interest in the disappearance of his fiancée, Gabby Petito. Her body was found in Wyoming in September, and the coroner ruled she had died by strangulation. Matthew McConaughey will let the public know shortly of his plans to run for Texas governor. The Dallas Buyers Club actor told The Hollywood Reporter today running for governor of his home state is something he's been thinking about for 20 years. He has till December 13th to commit to a campaign. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're successful in life, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Let me ask you this. Are you protecting your family and your assets with quality term life insurance? At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000, $1 million, or more. So call us right now for a free, no-pressure quote. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com and LeonDyer.com.
Welcome to Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny with Coach Christine Clark. Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your very being is softened by fire as you take hits that shape you. Christine is a transformational life coach dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to create a whole life success on their terms. On this show, you will be forged into a magnificent, powerful, highly functional work of art that is your significant life. Now, here's your host, Christine Clark.
Join me, Coach Christine Clark, as we forge our lives. We are going to go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Who will you be when you believe you have what it takes? Hello, everybody. I am Coach Christine. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. Thank you for tuning in today. Hello to all of our listeners in Seattle and all of you checking us out on Facebook and YouTube. I'm so jazzed for this show today. My friend and mentor, Coach Sean Smith, is joining me today on a topic that is really just so very relevant, especially this week as families gather for the holiday. And this is really a universal topic. You know, we raise our kids so that they can leave the nest. They can go out and be a productive part of society, right? But what happens as these children become 18, 20, 22, and they fly? You know, how do parents let go? How do we cope when our children cut the cord and leave us hanging? You know, there's some rough waters as the parent-child relationship shifts. And when kids leave home, there's pride and there's pain. There's nurturing and loneliness, and it all just collides. And we have to navigate this absolutely necessary evolution of our most primary of all relationships, the parent-child relationship. I'm honored and downright grateful to have Sean Smith with me today. He is one of the reasons I became a transformational life coach. Mm-hmm. Sean is a husband and a father of two remarkable young people, and he's founded a personal development company and training company in 2006, and he has helped thousands and hundreds of thousands of lives around the world as a speaker, as a trainer, and as a private coach. You can find Sean on the web at www.elitecoachinguniversity.com and coachseansmith.com. Sean, it is absolutely wonderful to have you with me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for all of that. It's great to be on with you.
Yeah. Sean and I have been having this conversation over the last several months because both of us are kind of in it up to our eyeballs. me with my 20, I have a son, two sons, one is 26 and one is 21, and my 21-year-old is going through some transitions in his life, and at this point in time, he has decided that he does not want to communicate with me. He doesn't want to hear from me, and he doesn't want to talk to me. I'm grateful that he still is connected to his father and his brother, but it's tough. It's tough stuff. And Sean, you have a daughter who has moved on to college. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that for you.
Yeah, my daughter is almost 20. She's a sophomore in college. And, you know, I've been, as most of us parents do, just focusing on whatever's in front of us and getting our kids through school and teaching them about life and all the things that we do. And when my daughter turned 18, I was not ready for that. You know, I had talked to you. You and I had talked about once the kids kind of fly the nest, so to speak, and I've heard about empty nesters and talked to people, but it was all intellectual for me. And then once my daughter turned 18, I was not prepared for what I did to myself and the questions that I asked for myself. There was something about her childhood ending. Now, of course, I will always be her dad. She'll always be my child. I get all of that, but she'll never be 17 again, right? She'll never be a child. She's an adult, and I've just realized, Christine, that in my mind, I am not a parent of adults. I'm a parent of kids. Like, that's my identity.
Right.
My identity is that I have little kids. And so I wasn't prepared for her to be an adult. It's not that I was afraid of her going out and, you know, experiencing the world as an adult and all that sort of stuff. It was just I started to look at what I did as a parent and how I might have messed her up, or how, you know, what things did I not equip her for, right?
Yeah, right.
It was pretty breathtaking, actually, when I recognized. We took her to college, and we dropped her off and helped her move in and all that. And I was good with all of that. We said our goodbyes, and it was, you know, emotional. But it was the next day when I woke up, and I walked past her room, which is right next to our room, and I looked in, and the door was open, and the bed was empty. That's when it hit me, like, right. Really, really hard that, right, I started to miss this girl that I've spent my entire life with her under my roof. So I wasn't prepared for the internal conversation, to say the least.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge transition. I remember dropping Ben off at college and crying. And when I dropped the younger one, Daniel, off at college, he was 4 hours away. I cried the whole way home. Yeah. So, but, you know, our purpose as parents, I mean, we raise children for this event, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what we want to do as parents. I mean, when I think of what's our purpose as a parent, it's to have children become a productive members of society. We're actually wanting to raise adults. And it gets complicated somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I didn't get that memo.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, like you said, she's no longer under the roof, and I think that. So this is great. You know, and we get hung up as parents in a lot of different ways. And I want to dive into this. And so tell me just a little bit how we get hung up as a parent, you know, as parents. Because I think of it as part of, you know, we're trying to have we want to look good through our kids, and we're just going to get rolling on this. I'm going to skip the first break so we can dive into this, Sean.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
I think what you started with purpose is a really important conversation. You know, we talk about purpose with all kinds of other areas of our lives, people that want to start businesses. What's our purpose? And I never really considered what my purpose was as a parent until recently. I heard somebody say that the first 10 years of your child's life, you're teaching them how to live with you. And the last 10 years or the next 10 years, you should be teaching them how to live without you.
Right.
And it speaks to what you said. You know, our purpose is to raise adults. Well, I just never thought of it that way. And I wasn't intentionally preparing myself, nor intentionally having conversations to prepare her and my son, you know, a few years behind her, for life after she moves out. And so just not having that purpose in mind, you know, intentional in my consciousness, that's one of the reasons why it hit me so hard, because I hadn't been strategically, to some degree, preparing for her to be an adult. And so that's why I came face to face with, you know, what my identity really is. But if we know that our purpose is to prepare them for a life without us, then the things that we do are going to hopefully aim toward that purpose.
Right.
And
right.
When that purpose happens, like is happening with my daughter, it can be more of a celebration. Like, this is what we've prepared for, rather than,
right,
oh my goodness, what's
right
happening. And, you know,
mm-hmm,
and to just all of a sudden have it thrown in my face, like, you don't have a little girl anymore. And that, I think, the purpose piece that you mentioned is so critical. And I think without really being clear on what our purpose is around preparation, then it's easy to do what you kind of alluded to, is to just really parent from our egos, you know,
mm-hmm,
parent from our short-term, what's right in front of us, what's the diaper that needs to be changed now, what's the mouth that needs to be fed now, what's the grade that needs to be entered now, what's the thing that needs to be done right now to get me to that next moment or to get us to the next day. And when we are parenting in somewhat of a sloppy way, I would say, and that's not to be demeaning in any way to those of us that have done all those things, but we're not parenting with a higher level purpose. We're just parenting with an in-the-moment kind of purpose. Then it's easier for us to fall back on our unconscious patterns, you know, our unconscious programmings. I was telling somebody just yesterday, we were talking about parenting, and I was saying that my wife and I, we both do similar things in parenting related to discipline, but we do it for completely different reasons. But we never had these discussions. We never said, okay, this is how we're going to discipline our children with the purpose of preparing them for adulthood, so let's be on the same page. And then we just kind of default to, you know, whatever our own unconscious patterns are. We try to make up for our own insecurities. We decide that we're not going to parent the way we were parented.
Right.
But we don't have a model, and that's where it gets, you know, really difficult if we don't have some clarity there.
Yeah, because, you know, it starts out being really, really simple when they're infants. You know, if they're fussy, you know, they're they're hungry. They need to be burped. They need to diaper. They're tired, and it's like it's easy. But as the kids grow, it gets more complex, and like you said, we're reacting to what's happening now, how to handle the kid, and as our children evolve, the relationship has to evolve. And, you know, some of it's really exciting, especially as kids get more intellectual. You can have deeper conversations. You can broaden their horizons. And it's a lot of fun. And then as they get out in the world, they get new perspectives. And maybe mom and dad are not the gods that they started out to be. And that can be scary for the parent, for the adult, right? Because we're no longer the person. They got friends and that kind of thing.
One in.
Yeah, yeah, and so it is. It's an evolution, and it's wanting the absolute best for the kids, and yet I think rarely do we take the step back and really see what, you know, what are we doing and where are we going with this?
And why are we doing all of that?
Right, yeah. And
now, I'd like to share something based on what you just said. Sorry to jump in.
No, that's all right.
When you were talking about just the evolution and we're no longer their main input, you know, of programming, right? As soon as they get into social media or, you know, in the preteen years, depending on where they get access to it, but they're going to their school. And even if our children don't have access to Facebook or Instagram or any of the social media sites, they are communing with people that do, with other kids that do. So it's impossible for them to not be programmed as they start to get into these teenage years. For me, what hit me is not just that piece about the programming, but the timing. So once upon a time, I could measure the moments that I spent with my daughter on a weekly basis. I could measure them in days because I would spend 7 days a week with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she got a little older, she started going to school. She started to get into her, you know, group of friends. Then it started to be less days. And as she got older and older into her teenage years, then it started to be hours per week. And now it's just minutes. So as the space on her plate has gotten smaller and smaller for dad, that's been the thing that I've really struggled with because it's again, I wasn't prepared for that. And so how can I make those moments count more and not take for granted all the stuff I took for granted when she was under my roof, you know, 7 days a week? So that shrinking of the time I have with her has been one of the most profound and painful things I've personally dealt with.
Yeah. And that shift does kind of stretches the heartstrings, right? When the voice went off and we're in college, it's like, you know, I could feel that pull, that, you know, those lines were stretched tight and, you know, they're off doing their thing. And
part of me is, you know, I'm left at home alone. That's sad. Yeah. But to be able to adjust to celebrating that they're out there, and as you said, adjust the conversation and more intentional, being more direct, and make the minutes count.
I just feel that. Make the minutes count.
Right.
And so much of this comes down to our identity, which, again, you alluded to earlier. What's our identity as a parent? What's our identity mm-hmm. as a person? What's our identity as a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter? You know, all of these different identities that we have. And a lot of times, you mentioned it a few moments ago, a lot of times we try to parent our kids so that our kids will make us look good,
right?
As parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if our kids are getting A's in school, or if they look good, or if they, you know, behave, then what does that reflect upon us,
right?
As parents,
mm-hmm.
and when we are parenting from the protection of our ego, we're not really parenting for the evolution of that child.
Right.
At least that's not our main intention if
yeah.
they're trying to protect our enoughness or goodness as
mm-hmm.
a parent. I remember a story with a client of mine years ago. We were talking about this issue and how she would erupt on her child who was young, 5, 6, 7 at the time, and she would get really frustrated. And when we dove into it a little bit, she recognized that her irritation was because he was making her look bad. And he had just gone to school, like preschool or kindergarten or one of the early stages, with, I think, 2 different shoes on and, like, you know, striped pants and a plaid shirt or something, right? He made all the mistakes when it comes to dressing himself. And when she dropped him off at school, she went up to the teacher and said, "I apologize for the way my son dressed himself today." And she mm-hmm. was genuinely essentially trying to save face by making sure the teacher knew that she didn't dress the child, and the teacher just shut her down even before she finished her apology and said, "Listen, you think we don't know which children dress themselves?
Right.
Like, that's the last
right.
thing you have to do is apologize."
Mm-hmm.
But the big point here is, at a very early age, her ego and her identity as a good parent was being determined by the clothing choices that her 6, 7, 8-year-old son was making.
Right.
And that's where it gets really, I would say, dangerous for us internally,
absolutely.
But also for our kids.
Right, yeah. Because you could be celebrating that the child at a young age can tie the shoe, can
right.
button the shirt, can dress himself, and instead of celebrating that accomplishment, we get wound up in the details and how it looks. And how it, you know, and how it makes us look.
How it reflects on us, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And wanting the best for our children is one thing, and yet determining what that is, especially when our ego gets in the way,
right.
and you know, then we start, you know, start breaking the contract, really.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
I know. I just had we did one of our family dinners for Thanksgiving on Sunday, and there was somebody at the table talking, and he does involved in 4-H training kids in the shooting sports, archery and target shooting. And he had a kid that was a young man that couldn't hit the target to save his soul.
Yeah.
And so the instructor, he said, you know, he had switched sides. And when he switched from right to left, then the kid was hitting the target almost all the time. He was left eye dominant, even though he was right-handed otherwise. Yeah. And the part that just tore me up was that the kid's father, he was adamant that the child only shoot right-handed.
Hmm.
For whatever story that man had about
right.
what left meant, or being left eye dominant, or it's not proper or right, he would rather have his son struggle and stay and shoot right than to shoot left and you know, hit the marks. And it's like,
wow.
Oh, you know, how do we do that?
Yeah, it speaks to what our main intention is. You know, going back to what we've been talking about with the purpose of the child, but one of the most profound conversations you and I had, in my perspective years ago, was the conversation of powerful traits we can give our children as parents. What's the thing that will prepare them for the world the most?
Mm-hmm.
And we both agreed very clearly that that trait is
resiliency.
Resiliency.
Yeah.
And that really changed a lot for me, just thinking about, you know, what is resilience? Because resilience requires adversity. It's impossible
Absolutely.
To build the muscle of resilience without adversity. And yet how many of us as parents, I've done this plenty of times, my wife and I do this unconsciously, we want to protect our children from adversity. So if we want
Right.
to protect our children from adversity, but we want them to build resilience,
you got to pick one.
It can't happen. Those,
right.
those two things can't happen.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean throw them on the street or drop them off at a corner and make them find their way home.
Right.
But the idea is we helicopter our children too much.
Right.
And in our desire to protect
mm-hmm.
them, usually because of what it means about us as parents, we actually enable them. And a lot of times they will then go off into the world not having built the muscles of independence or resilience, and that's when it's going to matter more. And that's
right.
a real, like, I can feel my body getting activated just now saying
mm-hmm.
that, because that's a real potential problem and danger that stems from us trying to protect our children from the thing that's going to build the most important muscle.
Right. Yeah. When they fall down, and even as a toddler, like they're learning to walk and they fall down, and there's that moment where the parent can hold back and see if the kid gets up, and if he bruises himself and decides it hurts, he can cry, or he can just get up and you can say, yeah, you got up. Or in that moment, are we rushing in and, oh, you poor kid, and, you know, protecting them from feeling, you know, feeling hurt, feeling pain. And really, it's hard. I mean, you know, it's hard to really be able to make those choices to let your child go, let them fail, let them, you know, see what they're doing and let them go. But it is so powerful to be able to do that. This is a fantastic conversation. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, what do children want and what do they need from us as parents? My guest today is Coach Sean Smith. His website is www.coachseansmith.com. I am your host, Coach Christine Clark. My website is sunglowtransformation.com. You can find me on Instagram, on LinkedIn, at Facebook, at Sunglow Transformation, and also at Coach Christine Clark. This is a rich, wonderful conversation about the parent-child relationship, especially as children grow up and leave the nest. And we're going to just take a little break, and then we'll be right back.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Bettman. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness.
Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenButton.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why Is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to MentallyToughWomen.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Coach Christine, this is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. My guest today is Coach Sean Smith, and we're talking about the parent-child relationship as it evolves, especially when children leave the nest. And Sean, the question what we want to look at right now is, you know, what do children need and what do they want, do you think, from the parent, from us?
Yeah, that's a really juicy question. And I think something that's important that we were just chatting about on the break is that there are no pat answers.
Yeah.
And we tend to look for the one-size-fits-all solutions in parenting or relationships or personal development of any kind. And they just don't exist. You know, there's no such thing as when this happens, always do that, because humans are involved.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully we can spawn some questions, not necessarily give answers. But in my opinion, what do kids want? I think kids want independence. I think kids want to be celebrated. I think we all need to be celebrated and acknowledged. Obviously, this is going to shift as children grow throughout the course of their upbringing. But I think children want unconditional love. I think children also want boundaries. You know, I think we do a big disservice for ourselves and our kids when we assume that we know what the kids want because we knew what we wanted when we were 12.
Right.
Right. Back when we grew up with no internet and no social media and nowhere near the society that exists now, and we think a 12-year-old back then is the same as a 12-year-old now. But they're not. I mean, they're literally different humans. It's a different society. It's a completely different generation. But there are fundamentals still that I think do apply. And I think our children, what our children really want, I think one of the things our children want is to be liked.
Yeah.
I think it's really, you know, we know that our parents are supposed to love us, and we use the word love all the time, but when was the last time, I might start crying when I answer this question, because I'm asking it to myself.
Yeah.
When was the last time I told either one of my children, I really like you?
Yeah.
I mean, I say I love you all the time, every day, multiple times.
Right. Yeah, and it becomes,
I like who you are.
Yeah, and it's a different energy, and I can feel that.
Absolutely.
It's like, because we all want to be liked, but to be liked by our parent is like the ultimate, you know, stamp of approval.
And that doesn't mean we have to be soft. You know, we just want them. They want to know that we are proud of who they are as a person, not just that they that we love them as our offspring.
Right.
Because love can feel like an obligation, and to some degree, it kind of is. But liking somebody, that's a choice, and it's based on how you see that other person. So I think if we can give our kids the knowingness that we appreciate who they are as a person, and one of the things that I think a lot of us do as parents that I believe is a big mistake is we punish the person for the behavior. We punish the person for the performance. So if they perform bad on on the school, you know, in the schoolyard, not in the schoolyard, but, you know, in their report cards or on the sports field or anywhere else, if they perform bad, then we punish them as a person. I mean, think about how many times we just unconsciously, as a parent, or we might have heard this as a kid, what's wrong with you? Or what's the matter with you?
Right?
You did that thing. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that language is really important for us to understand, because if I'm a child and my parent says, what's wrong with you?
Right.
That's talking about me as a person. That's not me, the performer. That's not my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's the behavior. And that's a connection that I think we make that, I mean, I know you see this in your coaching. I see this in my coaching. A lot of the deep work that we do with people takes them back all the way to childhood and some of these conversations and sometimes just a single thing that one of our parents did and that wound stays with us because we think there's something wrong with me as a person when I mess up.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation with one of my clients on Monday, and we were kind of looking back and how she used to believe that she was never enough for her dad. But through the work, she was able to see that he actually had quite high, not high expectations of her, but a high belief in her. He saw that she could do anything.
Yeah.
But as the way it came across in her growing up was she could always be doing more. And so that's how she internalized it. But the truth was that when we, you know, put the work into it, is that, no, he believed her capacity beyond all measure and saw the best in her. But,
I think the hybrid here is that it's not an either or. It's not, we're not saying lower your standards for your kids. I think what could have happened, and I'm not trying, again, to judge any parents because this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm sure you would say the same. So in no way are we pretending that, you know, parenting is easy. But from the perspective that we have with a lot of the work that we do, if that father would have said, I'm hard on you because I believe in you so much, then it gives the child the reason for the discipline. Because without the reason for the discipline, this person said, why is my dad so hard on me? And then that's the question that the juvenile mind answers, and usually the child's mind answers that question of why is my parent doing this with some version of I'm not good enough. So if we as a parent will give the child a different answer to that question, then we can hopefully get in front of a lot of the self-punishment that we just naturally take on as kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What that would do, too, is if we were to tell ourselves as parents that every time we discipline our kids, we have to tell them why, it would be really profound.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. A lot of times we won't know why.
Right.
So it'll be a really powerful exercise for ourselves to go, huh, why is it so important that they behave? Why is it so important that they make their bed? Why is it so important that they, you know, clean up after themselves? And it doesn't mean you have to change any of your beliefs. You will know as a parent why it's so important to you, and that could be massively transformational for yourself as well. Because we all parent, like we all behave with our own triggers and traumas and programmings and like all these things that are built into our system. Might as well know about it and, you know, change what we can and don't change anything we don't want to change.
Why is that? Why am I correcting that for you? Well, because, you know, I want you to go out and prove to society that I'm a good parent. I don't want to look bad. I know. No, that's not why.
But yeah, I think, you know, feel that that's a huge one. Just be simple enough to put into place. Like, okay, if you're correcting, ask yourself what is that? Where is that coming from?
And even if it's not something that you tell the child in the moment, maybe it's something that you write in your journal later that night. You know, why did I erupt? It's all just a process of evolution and self-discovery that I think everybody wins with.
Yeah, I think so too. And like you said, it's part of our personal growth, and it pertains to us as parents, to that parent-child relation, to continue to be more aware of who we are, how we come across, and what's going on. You know, our identity as a parent, what we want for our kids.
It's so deep. I know we've already touched on it a couple of times, but it's just so deep because it has so many different angles to
it.
You know, what does it mean if our children get bad grades, or what does it mean if they do drugs, or what does it mean if they have sex earlier than we had sex, or earlier than we want them to, or what does it mean if they follow certain people or listen to certain, you know, music or whatever it is? What does it mean about me? That's one of the most powerful questions I've been confronted with in my own coaching over the last couple of years. What does it mean about me that? What does it mean about me that my wife has certain behavior, that my children have certain behavior, that my bank account is so low, that my bank account is so high, right? Like, what does it mean about me inside of those circumstances? That is the most confronting personal development question that I've had, but it's also the most liberating one. And specifically in the context of parenting, what does it mean about me that my child is, you know, whatever the answer is, or whatever we're trying to figure out? And, you know, one other thing that you just reminded me of when you were talking here a moment ago, when going back to the question, what do our kids want? I think our kids also want to know certain stuff. Like, they want to know why we're doing things. They would love to know why we set a 10 p.m. curfew. Mm-hmm. Part of it is just, you know, their attitude, like, why do I got to be home at 10? But part of it is they're constantly, you know, we're all meaning-making machines, and we're constantly trying to figure out why things work the way they work. Where are the boundaries, and why are the boundaries there, and can I get over those boundaries? That's part of just the natural curiosity of humans learning this thing called life and parenting and all that stuff. So it's not that they're intentionally trying to get around our authority or anything like that. They're just trying to learn stuff, but they want open communication. I think that's one of the things that you and I are really big on, and kids want to know that we as parents are a safe space.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We're getting close to the break here, and I do want to take the break and then come back. But you're absolutely right, Sean. The children want to know us. They know where we're coming from, and that is like one of the most powerful things we can do as parents, is to be honest and with our kids and not be afraid of the conversations. It's fantastic. We're gonna take a little break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about something that's very special and coming up. That, you know, Sean has written a book about this parent-child relationship, and we're going to touch on that and talk a little bit more about being honest and open with our kids. So this is Fortune Life Beyond the Curve, Calling in Your Unique Destiny. I am Coach Christine Clark. My guest today is Coach Sean Smith. You can find him at www.coachseansmith.com on the web. You can find me at Sunglow Transformation and Coach Christine Clark on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and on the web. And we'll be right back after this.
Shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy Al. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you. Help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com. Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
This is Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. I'm here every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Today, our conversation is the parent-adult conversation and adult-child conversation. My guest is Coach Sean Smith. We were just talking about, you know, the communication and children really wanting to know us. And that brought to my mind, Sean, that, you know, the relationship is a two-way street. Even though the adult does most, the parent does most of the managing to start with, but in the second 10 years when you're preparing them to leave, honesty and trust is important. And that relationship, keeping the relationship open, is so important. And my experience is that if I want honesty in, from my kids, then I need to be honest with them, and I have to trust them. I remember distinctly my youngest, we were going somewhere. He was not much older than 16. He was driving. He had a city girlfriend, and I asked if they were sexually active, and the answer was yes, and I immediately felt the anger just well up because they were too young. I didn't want him to ruin his life. I didn't want to, you know, all this. But simultaneously with that, I knew instantly that if I let that anger out, I had broken the contract. Because if I reacted with anger when he was totally honest with me, why would he ever be totally honest with me again?
That's
and
it.
So I tamped it down. I breathed and just said, well, are you using birth control? Are you being safe? And yes, the answer was yes. But it's just one of those moments where I realized that, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that if I want to stay in relationship with this amazing young man. Yeah.
That's a powerful story. And I think any of us that are parents, especially as our kids are in the teenage years or beyond, we've probably had moments like that where we just naturally want to respond in a certain way, but we don't understand why, or we don't have that long-term purpose in mind. And I love what you said. If you want him to share his truth with you for the rest of your lives, then don't shut it down now, and definitely don't punish it. And that's what we tend to do as parents. At least it's easy for us to do, is we shut down our kids' yeah. honesty because we don't like what they have to say.
Right.
and we think we're doing the right thing. At least our emotional traumas and triggers think it's doing the right thing in the moment. But, I mean, kids are so wise. And they recognize, okay, you're not ever going to hear anything from me again.
Right.
And
yeah.
so
well,
they'll learn.
Why should I tell you?
Absolutely. And yeah. they'll learn to give the mm-hmm. answers that just get by the moment and get them out of the situation that they don't want to be in. Yeah. And what it does, I think, long term is it creates some distance between us and our kids that I think later on in life we really want. Right? We can't want our adult children to be able to talk to us about anything if we shut it down as a child. Because that doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, I don't want you to tell me truthful
right.
stuff about whether you're doing drugs or having sex or, you know, whatever you're doing. But then later on, tell me truthful stuff. Like, because the foundation of trust hasn't been established.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a tough one, but a really, really powerful one.
Yeah. I do want to make sure that we touch on your book.
Yes.
So Sean Smith has a book that, is it out yet? Can people get it?
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet. Okay.
Not quite yet.
Yeah. The book is Daddy, Are You Proud of Me? And it's written from the father-daughter relationship, but easily transfers to all parent-child relationships. And Sean, what I love best about this book is it wasn't something you just said, oh, let's write a book about, you know, how to communicate with our kids. It came organically from your coaching. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I started out as a coach back in the 2006, 7, 8, ended up in the world of Mary Kay, which is how I think we first crossed
paths. Yeah,
that's
right.
And so I coached one-on-one hundreds of women and, as you know, in groups, thousands of women. And whenever you get into any kind of personal development coaching, you're always going to land on self-esteem, because that's why we hold ourselves back. That's why we have the fears that we have. That's why we have the perfection and other patterns that we have, is self-esteem. And what I learned after a few years is a woman's self-esteem has a direct shot back to her relationship with her father, but even more specifically, whether she thinks her dad was proud of her or not. That's just what kept coming out with all of my coaching. And so eventually I learned, we're going to get to the daddy stuff anyway, so we might as well go there now. And I started to explore, you know, what was your relationship like with your father? And I learned about the father relationship through the perspective of women, which I didn't have. I didn't grow up mm-hmm. as a little girl, obviously. So I had a different relationship with my dad and with my mom. And so it was a huge awareness for me, and it changed the way I started parenting my daughter, who was 5, 6, 7 at that time. And
wow.
when I learned that the main question that so many women have, whether they're conscious of it or not, is, Daddy, are you proud of me? Then I would tell my daughter that every single day, and I would whisper it to her ear when she was asleep, because I know the unconscious mind never sleeps, you know, sweetheart, I'm proud of you. And I would just try to give her the solutions to all the problems that I was finding with the father-daughter relationship in the coaching. And then I just kept telling other people, like, somebody's got to write a book. Like, somebody needs to tell dads, because we didn't get these memos.
That's right.
And
yeah.
then somebody held a mirror up and goes, yeah, you need to write that book. So I did. I wrote the book, and it's here. I've got a physical copy that's me and her on the front when she was a little tyke. And it's really a message to fathers with daughters. Basically, I'm playing the reporter. I'm not saying any, like, I'm not sharing my morals or my values or what I think should be done. I'm saying, listen, I've coached thousands of women, and this is what they tell me about their dads. This is how their relationship affected their life, their relationships, their success, their body image, their self-esteem, their confidence. And we need to know, dads, because nobody tells us this stuff. So that was my whole intention for the book. What's been interesting about the book, Christine, is the majority of my community are females. And so when they hear the book and they hear the title, they're like, I need to read that book. And so several women have, well, probably, I don't know, hundreds of women at this point have read the book, like just as it was being written, you know, early versions of it, and they were being healed because it was like they were listening in on a coaching conversation between me and their dad. And I wasn't even writing directly to the women, but they were vicariously learning, and they were also learning about their dad as I talked to him.
Right. Yeah.
And some of them don't have fathers that are alive anymore, or they don't have fathers that are open to these conversations, but the healing has already happened. So the book has kind of taken on a life of its own where it really speaks to females, because every woman has a dad. And it really speaks to dads, and I'm super proud of the effect of it. And part of it is because it's actually not my work. It's just a collection of what I've learned, and I want to heal relationships and restore relationships. So the book's not out, but anybody can get at least the first chapter of it by going to my website. There's a link up at the top that says my book, and people can sign up on the list and get notifications when the book does come out here in a few months, but you can start reading it right away.
Wonderful. So, and that is at your website, which is
coachshawnsmith.com.
Yeah. And there's a link at the top to get the first chapter of Daddy, Are You Proud of Me? So,
and as you said, everything relates to everybody.
Right.
You know, I talk about masculinity in there with the men and talk about self-esteem with the women. And so it's not just this one particular conversation. That's what I love about this conversation in general. Whether people have 20-year-old boys or 20-year-old girls or 7 kids or one child, this is such an expansive conversation about, like, what do kids really truly need? And that's how we can answer the questions of what should we do as parents.
Right.
You know, I just love the two-way street, like you're saying. Honesty is everything, and it'll bring us to our own personal recipes that we're walking around life with.
Absolutely.
It's uncomfortable, but it's the only liberation there is, really.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for this, Sean. This has been a wonderful conversation. I know that we've only hit the tip of the iceberg.
I didn't know time was going to speed up when I was on the radio.
It does. It's magic. Benny does that.
Yes.
So this has been great. Thank you so much. This is, I am Coach Christine Clark. This is Forging a Life Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny. And I'm here every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 Eastern. My guest today is Coach Sean Smith, and you can find him at CoachSeanSmith.com. Until next time, give your kids a hug, and we'll see you in December.
Thanks for tuning in to Forging a Life with Christine Clark. Remember to acknowledge your talents and skills. Your gifts are the elements needed to claim the life of your dreams. Believe you have what it takes to forge the life you want. Through intuition, trusting yourself, and the process, take action and call your life into a vibrant, beautifully lit existence aligned with your core self. To learn more or work with Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Tuesday, Eric Reiner here with...